Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Mark Mather, Vice President of Domestic Programs at the Population Reference Bureau, where he coordinates population research to advocacy groups, educators, the media, and the public. He has authored more than a dozen reports on the well-being of children and families and has co-authored 5 population bulletins on U.S. demographic trends, and he leads a project to investigate the characteristics and geographic distribution of scientists and engineers in the United States. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mark Mather.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
And the U.S. Census Bureau have just issued a report saying essentially that children from racial and ethnic minorities now account for more than half of the birth in the United States, meaning that for the first time in the history of the United States, white births are in the minority.
That's right. So we've been seeing a rapid increase in racial ethnic change in the United States. And this is just, so we knew that this was coming for some time, but it shows that children are really at the forefront of the racial ethnic changes that are taking place.
And you believe that there's a connection with the economic downturn?
Well, I would say that if anything, the economic downturn may have dampened this increase a little bit, because what the downturn did is it reduced immigration to the United States. So we've had fewer immigrants, especially from Mexico, arriving into this country, and therefore fewer potential parents with children in the United States.
Well, my understanding is that the U.S. Census report says that U.S. birth rates have been declining, but the drop has been larger for white people.
Yes, in terms of the birth rate, there has been more of a decline among, in terms of the number of births. We've seen fewer white births than among other groups. It's not entirely clear whether or not that decline in white births is due to the recession. We think that there is a link there. It's a combination, I think, of both the fertility trends and the trends in immigration, because it's young people who are coming here to work, and young people who might be returning to Mexico. And when you've got a lot of young people, those are the people who are having the birth. So I think it's a combination of both the fertility trends and the recent trends we've seen in immigration.
But apparently the figures are that the number of white births have fallen by 11.4% since 2008 compared to 3.2% for minorities.
That's right, and that's largely due to the aging of the white population. So we have all of these baby boomers who are now reaching retirement age. So that means that there's a lot fewer people of reproductive age in the white population, essentially. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's fewer births per woman, but there's fewer couples who are having kids, and therefore you see this decline in white births.
Again, I'm speaking with Mark Mather, and we're talking about the U.S. Census report just out indicating that white births are a minority for the first time in U.S. history. U.S. history. I mean, there were Native Americans here before the white men. I suppose that's not an entirely correct statement of mine. But unfortunately, you know, they were pretty much wiped out by the white man. So... But what we just talked about, though, I think is really interesting, Mark Mather, and that is that there is a growing division here between an older white population that have the votes, the money, the political power, and basically get most of the benefits from the government. And then you've got this younger population that is foreign to the older white baby boomer and older population, with whom they have no personal connection.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's what we call it. We call it a new generation gap. So we have lots and lots of baby boomers. They're now reaching age 65. They're going to be eligible for Social Security and Medicare benefits, taking up a large part of the federal budget, making those entitlement payments. And then you put that in contrast with this younger generation that is increasingly Latino and Asian and multiracial. And so you have this interesting juxtaposition of these two groups who, you know, may not... I think there's some culture shock involved in terms of these two groups getting together and getting to know each other. And for government, it's a matter of public policy priorities. Where are they going to spend their money? On which populations are they going to devote their resources?
Well, at the moment, in terms of Social Security, of course, that is designed to take care of older people, and it just happens the majority of them are white. Medicare takes care of older people as well, right? And much of the expenses in the last few years of their lives. So the system is already rigged in terms of money to take care of the elderly.
That's right. Yeah, so you'd have to, there are proposals, I guess, that Congress are considering to make some changes to those programs, but really those expenses are built in.
So again, Mark Mather, we're talking about the U.S. Census report came out the first time white births are a minority in this country, and Mark is president of domestic programs at the Population Reference Bureau. The nation's minority population is now 36.6% of the population, right?
That's right.
And Hispanics are the largest number of that. That's 16.7% of the population, total of 52 million in the United States as of 2011.
That's correct.
And then you've got the next biggest group, 43.9 million African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And
Latinos past African Americans in the past decade is the largest minority group.
And the report also sort of breaks this down on a national basis, doesn't it? There are four states, Hawaii, California, New Mexico, and Texas, plus Washington, D.C., that where minorities are a majority.
That's right.
I mean, we're going to have to stop calling minorities minorities, right?
It's a strange term, this majority-minority term, but that's the only term that we've come up with so far.
So do you think that the Hispanic population boom has peaked?
Well, it remains to be seen whether or not we have seen a recent decline in Latino growth, and also for Asian Americans, there's been a decline in their growth rate. So they're still the fastest growing groups, but they're not growing as fast as they were during the past decade. So it remains to be seen whether this is a short-term trend, maybe in response to the recession, or whether this will be a longer-term trend. And I think it's too soon to tell. But as the economy bounces back, we could see a big increase in immigration, for example, that could boost those numbers again.
So is there a relationship between the numbers of minorities in states and the quality of state services?
Between the number of minorities and the quality of state services?
The reason I brought that up is that California used to have the best education system in the world, the envy of all the other states, and then basically it's now down and almost at the bottom with Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And some people have argued that in its storied days when it was first started, the University of California, et cetera, it was almost entirely white, and now it's largely minority, and it's just basically been defunded. So mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get in a sense of whether this is a trend that's maybe national, that the more the population of schools become minority, the less we're investing in them. And in other words, there's a white flight to private schools, et cetera.
Right. Well, it's a very complicated issue, and I think it does have to, it does, I mean, you have to look beyond just racial and ethnic composition to the number of disadvantaged students, low-income students, which is closely linked to educational outcomes. And so there are definitely big challenges for states that have large numbers of low-income students or students in single-parent families, which happen to correspond often with racial ethnic composition. So I think those correlations that you're talking about do exist, but the relationship and causality is often complicated.
So, Mark Mather, at the Population Research Reference Bureau, do you look into the other factors like how these demographic changes are affecting our politics? Because it seems to me that that we have a minority president in Barack Obama, and never before have we had more poisonous discourse on race. So it seems like a disconnect to me. The more the country it becomes this sort of rainbow coalition, the more strident and poisonous is the public discourse about race relations.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that we're sort of at a turning point in this country in terms of, you know, we've had a long history of immigration to the United States. So more than many other developed countries, we accept immigrants coming here. But at the same time, you know, Barack Obama's ratings are clearly much higher for the younger generation, who is much more used to seeing that multiculturalism growing up with other students in their schools who are of different racial ethnic backgrounds. So again, it gets back to this culture shock, I think, with the, especially the older white generation that just didn't grow up in their cohort with racial ethnic minorities. It's going to take some getting used to.
So just in closing, Mark Mather, what about how this is going to translate in terms of voting? The older whites who are becoming the minority do have the political power and the money and the votes. But I take it that and African Americans have fought hard for their vote, and they tend to be amongst the highest voting levels in the country. There's been some puzzlement as to why the Latino numbers have not been as high as they could. I take it they're bound to grow.
It will grow over time. There are some, the fact that many Latinos lack citizenship has been one of the barriers, but every single year we have a growing number of Latinos who were actually born in the United States. So as we get more Latinos who are second generation, third generation, they're really we're going to see the political power of Latinos really increase over time.
Well, Mark Mather, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Mark Mather, who's the Vice President of Domestic Programs at the Population Reference Bureau, where he coordinates population research to advocacy groups, educators, the media, and the public. He has authored more than a dozen reports on the well-being of children and families, has co-authored 5 population bulletins on U.S. demographic trends, and he leads a project to investigate the characteristics of and geographic distribution of scientists and engineers in the United States. We're going to take a brief station break, and culture critic Toby Miller will be joining us in the studio.
Poor boy, head against a pillow, fast asleep. Poor girl, head against a window, lost in dream. One day they will be as giant, stronger than the sun. That day can't get caught.